Humidity at 86% here at our studios, mostly cloudy and 27 degrees. From the Weather Radio Forecast Center, I'm staff meteorologist Tom Churchill.
WPCA weather has been made possible by Friars Comfort by Design, Inc. for geothermal, heating, and cooling, Ellsworth, Hudson, and Lake City, Minnesota, or online at comfortbydesign.net or toll-free at 800-370-6545.
All right, it is coming up on a half a minute past the hour of 9 o'clock and time for Deep Roots Radio with Sylvia Burgos Toughness. Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, good morning. How are you?
Good, yeah. It's we have a heat wave.
I know. I was driving here and it was 27 degrees and I thought, I can live with this.
Yeah, we can deal with it. And it's going to cool off a little bit, but just into the 20s. So
you know what?
We're cheating winter.
I'm good with that. Or as they say, I'm down with that.
That's right.
I'm good. You know, I had such an interesting day yesterday. I had an opportunity to bop around in the Twin Cities for a while, needed to get a haircut, wanted to go to one of my favorite natural food co-ops in the Twin Cities, The Wedge, which I've shopped at like tens of thousands of other people for
I think we've interviewed somebody from there, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Yes, we have. So kind of loaded up on a bunch of, root vegetables, turnips, rutabagas, beets, daikon radish, and Napa cabbage. Because I'm going to make up a new batch of kimchi.
Hoo-hoo?
Yeah. Kimchi is like a Korean sauerkraut.
Okay.
So it's got other kinds of vegetables in there. And it, like sauerkraut, is an example of fermentation.
Ah.
You know, when you chop things up, you add salt, water, and you submerge those vegetables. You keep them submerged. That's a really important part of this process, which is called fermentation.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like making silage. On the farm.
See, you know all about it. In order to preserve it.
Sure.
And in that and as in silage, in that preservation process, actually more nutrition is released.
Mm.
In fact, you get nutrients from there that you couldn't in another way.
Okay.
But fermentation is a really ancient form of food preservation.
Mm-hmm.
People have used it since the dawn of time and the observations that thing rots, you know. So how do I keep my food from one growing period to the next? And so I bought up all of these things. Then I stopped at a bookstore, of course, and I decided at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to have some wine and cheese before I go home. And so I stopped at a brand new wine bar. And I say that and I think, oh, jeepers, wine bar. People, you know, may not have the appropriate picture in their mind of this, but it's a fine new place in Minneapolis.
It's not guys with sleeveless t-shirts and tattoos?
No, it's kind of at the other end of the spectrum where it's, oh my goodness, fine local and international wines. These delicious range of cheeses, both in texture and in maturity, flavors, and also from what corner of the world they come. Beers, craft beers.
Okay.
You know, some very small wineries, crafty kind of wineries. Charcuterie, I mean, they've got wonderfully fermented cured meats. Fermented vegetables. Chocolate.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, chocolate is fermented.
Mm.
And so this is a new business called Gyst. G-Y-S-T. Opened just the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, so it's a new, real new.
Really new. It's got four partners in it, and one of them, in fact, was here in Amory just in November giving us a class in fermentation.
Okay.
It was a packed class with loads of people who were really working hard and laughing the whole while. We've got with us this morning a fermentation specialist who not only does that, but is also an urban farmer and a cider maker, Jim Bovino. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Sylvia.
It is so
nice to talk to you again.
Yes, it's so good to have you on the line.
Thank you.
You know, Gyst was just a terrific place to meet up last night. I had a chance to chat with you again and with Mel Goose and Jill Mott, who is your sommelier, the person behind the counter, and to talk about just and you know how it is that you guys came to be. Why this focus on fermentation?
Well, I came late into the game with Gist, but the owners, Kai and Mel, were, as they were putting together their plan, were kind of looking at the things that they were interested in providing. I mean, you mentioned the cheese and the lovely wines that we serve and beer and chocolate and tea. And, you know, they realized that all these things, including bread and you know, some of the salumi that you mentioned, all these things are fermented. So they realized that this is the common theme in all the things they were interested in serving. And so they, you know, got more interested in learning more about fermentation. They were reading the wonderful book by Sandor Katz, The Art of Fermentation, and they just realized, you know, this is kind of the common theme running through everything that we're interested in, so they decided to call it a fermentation bar.
How has that been received by the public, this whole notion of just the fermentation bar?
Some people, you know, fermentation right now is, you know, it's kind of a trend in food kind of nationally right now. People are really interested in it as a culinary approach, as well as with learning more about the different processes and different products that come from fermentation. So some people are really, really enthusiastic about it and you know, are coming because, oh, we've heard about this place. We're excited about fermentation. And then there's other people that, you know, they just, you know, they think of it as a wine bar. They think of it as, you know, the new kid on the block, and they come in and they they're interested in learning about it. You know, it's something that I think is, you know, people are kind of waking up to the fact that this process has been with us for a very long time. And, you know, so it's been a really interesting conversation that we've had with customers. And again, people are coming from all different levels of understanding and experience with fermentation. But, you know, at the end of the day, the products taste delicious. And I think that's the response we're getting.
And I found that certainly to be true. In fact, with any kind of food, if you don't have deliciousness as the thing that people leave as an impression, they're not going to come back.
Right.
You know, you can boast that it's healthful. You can boast that it's, you know, environmentally sound. But if it isn't nutritious, it's not going to call people back. And that's one of the things I found sitting yesterday at Gist, was that the array of cheeses and the fermented, you know, the pickled beets and the dried cherries from Door County were such a wonderful complement to one another. And deliciousness really kind of leads the pack on this, as well as, I think, careful crafting. Is that also one of the core values of Gist?
Well, we're definitely interested in, you know, if you'll forgive the term, curating your experience a little bit. So, you know, rather than thinking in terms of one big bite of one or two things, we're interested in smaller bites of more things with texture and color, different flavors and, you know, complements of sweet and salt and acidity and, you know, some of the basic flavor profiles that that complement one another. So, yeah, we're definitely trying to kind of craft an experience for you that is, you know, that kind of has that diversity of experience.
You know, one of the things that made me do as I was sampling a soft cheese and comparing it to a more mature hard cheese, you know, adding kind of nibbling on some nuts in between in order to kind of pull flavors together, is that you end up really enjoying the food that's in front of you and taking time over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, we give you kind of a range of more or less raw materials and the little vehicle of bread, and then you can kind of create your own experience. You know, so you've got, like you said, you've got all those little in-between bites, the main bites of cheese, and then you can sort of create your own adventure with a small little board of cheese and accoutrement that, you know, that results in like one big, you know, it's like a symphony. You know, there's a lot of people playing different roles, but it all kind of comes together to be one thing. But yeah, we really, you know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because that's kind of, you know, that's the ideal customer who comes in and really understands it as being that kind of experience and that kind of, you know, mix and match.
You know, one of the things that I found quite interesting in chatting with you, for I sat at the bar, and so I had an opportunity to chat with you and to chat with Jill Mott, who is your sommelier.
Mel Guzzi is also a somm.
Yes.
So we have a lot of wine knowledge floating around there.
Yeah, that's one interesting, too. So if you decide to visit the GYST website, which is GYST, G-Y-S-T, then M, is it Minneapolis? M-N?
No, it's M-P-L-S.
M-P, thank you. So it's MPLS.com. You will find a great deal of information about the team, which includes Jim Bovino, who we're speaking with this morning, as well as Mel and Kai Goose, who I believe are sisters.
Yes, that's correct.
And Jill Mott, who is the sommelier behind the counter that I experienced yesterday. The deep experience that this young team has in this work. Lots of travel overseas, lots of working with businesses and corporations that deal with food, deal with natural growing things, deal with fermentation, as you have, Jim. Lots of contact and certified sommeliers. So these are certified wine experts that have worked in other places and now bring that expertise to this very unique wine bar called GYST. So, Jim, when it comes to your role, how is it different from the others, and what are you really focusing on?
So my role is more with the food and fermentation and pickling, kind of coming from the kind of producer standpoint. So I'm, as you mentioned earlier, I have a small urban farm. We started, as you mentioned earlier, we opened in the end of November. So, you know, most of what I could provide in terms of my produce was kind of at the tail end. A lot of the early pickles that we had and the vinegar that we had, some other things I provided. But moving into the springtime, I'll be growing most, if not all, of the produce that we'll be serving there, whether it's fresh or fermented or pickled. And then, you know, this fermentation piece, you know, we have this education kind of component to what we're doing with teaching classes and, you know, trying to convene the community around some of these topics that we're discussing today as well as others. So I'll also be teaching classes in fermentation, probably teaching, you know, some kind of workshop around cider as well. So, you know, I'm coming from the more of the food and produce and fermentation kind of production standpoint.
So tell me, what about your menu? It seems very selective, very deliberately focused. What was the decision around that?
Well, you know, it's a very simple menu. We're focusing on these small batch products, like the cheese is really the main focus. And then the ferments and pickles that we do mainly, we do source some ferments from a couple of other companies in the area to diversify what we have. But we're really trying to keep it very simple and focused. You know, I'm not a chef. None of us are chefs. We're not trying to play that game. So we're not trying to do anything that we can't do well. Mm. But we're really interested. I mean, you kind of, you know, you know, Sylvia, you're sort of the ideal customer because you sort of got it. You know, you experience just in the way that we hope other people do as well. You know, this little choose-your-own-adventure, multi-texture, experience. So, you know, we're really trying to very carefully curate the menu with very simple, really well-made products that are ethically and artisanally produced and really give people that kind of, more kind of selected experience with the menu rather than something that's more kind of one size fits all. So it's, you know, we can kind of tailor. You mentioned something yesterday while you were enjoying your cheese that, you know, despite the fact that we weren't giving you a piece of meat and a vegetable and a starch, you felt like you were going to be satisfied. This the caloric content of a board of cheese with some fruit and maybe a little fermented veg is quite high, and you can walk away feeling very satiated without having to tuck into a big steak or something like that. You know, and so we're really just trying to focus on those really really well crafted products that we can present in a very composed way, And again, keeping it very simple. You know, a couple of sandwiches for people who, you know, want something a little bit more kind of straightforward. But we really want to keep it simple and really put our best foot forward. You know, like I said, I'm not a chef. None of us are chefs. But we know food and we understand food. And we have a great deal of reverence and respect for the food that we are bringing in and offering. So,
you know, that came across really strongly, Jim, in our conversation. And when you take a look at that menu, when you take a look at your beautiful refrigerator units that are easily seen, I mean, they're there for public view. You can watch people as Mel or someone else, you know, cuts the cheese and prepares the plate. It's something that gets to happen right in front of the patron. The wine selections, you have a small selection right there where people can view it. I suspect that there is, you know, another selection elsewhere where, you know, it might be more extensive. But things are easily seen. And you feel like you're participating, or at least you're viewing how that plate is coming together, which is pretty, I find it really, really informative. And one of the things that also impressed me was the care that you have for the healthfulness of the products that are on the plate, either healthful, you know, because they're fermented, which already has an implication of nutrition to it, but also environmental impact. That seems to be a value that's shared across your team.
Certainly, yeah, we're very careful to think about where these products. You know, I think that health comes from the soil. You know, ultimately, health comes from. It's not just what, you know, eating "quote unquote" right. It's, you know, it's thinking about, you know, what went into that product that you're eating and how it was produced, and, you know, both from the standpoint of the producer and the environmental impact of that product, the way that the animals are treated, you know, all these things go into health. So we can't really separate ourselves from the soil. I think that's where it starts. You know, ultimately, we can't separate ourselves from the soil. So we're really interested in supporting those producers who are taking the care. And, you know, I think people sometimes, you know, I feel like what we're doing is fairly approachable and affordable. But, you know, sometimes people think, you know, they approach an artisan product and they think, oh, well, I can get that cheese, but it's a lot cheaper. Or, you know, people think about price and they don't realize the externalized costs of some of the products that they're buying. So, you know, if something's a little bit more expensive, chances are it's because there was a lot more care taken in bringing it to us, and we're actually paying the real cost rather than, you know, something a little cheaper. And you know, from the standpoint of health, I think, you know, if we spend a little bit more money, we get a lot more down the line.
You know, that was certainly a point that was made with one of the cheeses that I ate. I had a couple of cheeses that came from overseas that were made with raw milk, but which is absolutely legal, absolutely allowed if they're over 60 days.
Right.
Of aging, and the milk had been gathered, harvested when the animals had been on pasture, and so that really gives an amazingly rich and wonderful taste to the cheese. But it also plays a big role in keeping our environment healthy. And so as I was eating this wonderful, you know, repast, I'm thinking, wow, I can do this and not feel guilty. This is really great. Because it makes a difference. And so the other thing that I noticed, which was, you know, very different from me, I'm not a wine expert by any stretch of the imagination, was to listen to some of the conversations around me and to realize, as you said at the beginning of our conversation, Jim, that some people were coming to just because they had heard there was great wine there. And certainly the knowledge that your team has about the wines that are brought in is just amazing. For example, the wine that I drank last evening, well, it was from 40-year-old vines.
Yeah.
You know, nobody else is going to tell me this if I go have a glass of wine somewhere. So that really heightens for me the experience. And just seeing other people in your space enjoying themselves and enjoying the meal and enjoying the fact that they're all in the same place. I think it made for a much more, I think, deeper experience than I had even anticipated going there last evening. So it was wonderful.
One of the things that that I've been really impressed with regards to Mel and Jill and Kai's knowledge of the cheese and wine is that these guys are really great storytellers. So they really love, you know, they love a story. They love to talk about the producers. You know, a lot of places you'll go and this is no judgment, but a lot of places you'll go and someone, you'll ask a question about a particular wine and, you know, the bartender or the server will tell you something about how it tastes or what the varietals are. But these guys really focus on the producers. You know, this producer is doing, you know, this many acres and these are the methods and, you know, these are how old the vines are and really telling you something about the actual production itself, which, you know, you mentioned transparency earlier. You know, you can see everything at GIST. And, you know, this is part of that story. You know, we really put our focus on the producers and the practices, and that's where those flavors come from. That's where that, you know, unique experience comes from, because you can't adulterate, you know, in order to achieve authenticity. You just have to be authentic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are the stories that these guys love to tell and just tell them so well. And, you know, I learned so much from them just listening and just, you know, and talking to them about where these wines come from and how they're made. And so, you know, it's definitely about the story there, you know, and about the producers.
So let me ask you, Jim, we're kind of down to our last 4 minutes or so. Can you tell us again where you're located, your website, and your hours?
Yes, so we're located at the intersection of 26th Street and 1st Avenue, right off East Street, you know, one block off of Nicollet. The website address is gystmpls, that's gystmpls.com. And we are open Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. These are winter hours, by the way. These will change in the springtime. But right now, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, and then Saturday we're open at 11 a.m. until 10 p.m.
Great.
And close Sunday.
Well, so as we're wrapping up, Jim, let me ask you, what do you see going forward? I mean, what are you guys hoping to achieve over the next few months? Or how do you expect things, you know, might change? You had mentioned that you'll be bringing in things from your spring garden.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll, you know, that's a, you know, one of the changes is that we'll be focusing more on, you know, some produce that's grown, you know, quote-unquote in-house. But, you know, Kai and Mel have a very dynamic vision for just, you know, we're going to be doing more classes. We hope to be doing more retail. You know, our cheeses are available for retail purchase. We're talking about possibly doing a little produce stand in the back during the summer months. As you mentioned, we just opened in at the end of November. So we're sort of still getting ourselves together, but we're doing regular blog posts. We really hope to have, you know, be really dialoguing with our community around some of the stuff that we've been talking about today, as well as other things. So, you know, we're trying to kind of keep that conversation going through, you know, electronic media as well as in-house. So, yeah, again, like we'll have regular blog posts that hopefully people will weigh in on, it's like I said, it's very kind of dynamic vision right now, and it will continue to change and evolve, and, you know, we'll still kind of keep to our core mission of serving, you know, great products, great wine, great cheese, fermented products. But, you know, we really hope this education piece, this kind of dialogue with our community really keeps going. And again, some of the retail, you know, make some of the stuff available to people as well. But, you know, a big part of what we're doing is really trying to start a dialogue around great food.
You mentioned classes, Jim. What kind of classes do you have?
Well, actually, this afternoon, we're doing a fermentation class. So I'll be teaching a little couple-hour fermentation class that will culminate in everybody getting to make their own ferment and take that home. We recently did a sherry class, so we kind of talked about sherry and sort of some fun things around that. There'll be classes on cheese and, you know, some of the practices that go into making some of these wonderful cheeses. And, you know, we're kind of in the process right now of kind of dialoguing internally about what it is that we want to achieve with these classes and the different kind of classes that we want to offer. So, you know, keep an eye on the website. We'll be offering more classes as we go. But, you know, general classes about food system and you know, the whole sort of gamut of issues around that, you know.
Well, let me ask you, Jim, because we do have a couple of minutes left. You had talked about, you know, people tend to understand wine, beer, and cheese in some form in the United States. But one of the things that has fallen out of fashion and is now, it seems to be coming back, and you actually have a specialty in it, is cider making. So can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and if any classes might be coming up?
I am a partner in a cidery called Keepsake Cidery. We have a license pending right now, so we're not yet up and running, but we are making product. We are based in Dundas, Minnesota, just south of Northfield. We source about 95% of our apples come from that immediate area around Northfield. My business partners, Nate and Waters and Tracy Youngman, live on an orchard that they just recently planted that's intended for cider in particular. So the specific varietals that really make the best ciders, Nate has done a great job selecting and planting. So we hope to, you know, eventually be, you know, producing our own apples or majority of our own apples. We are making kind of natural ciders from mostly local apples, and it's a craft beverage, an agriculturally based beverage that is really, I think, really a wonderful example of something that this region can do really, really well. We have such a big apple. We're a fairly big apple state still in Minnesota. We've got some great varieties that really shine in the fermentation process. So we really hope to make, you know, really exceptional ciders, kind of world-class ciders here in Minnesota.
Wow. So is it a process similar to brewing beer?
No, there's no heat applied. So it's more like winemaking. So you take fruit. It's as simple as extracting the juice out of fruit and letting it ferment. It's as difficult as making that taste good. You know?
Really?
It's just like winemaking.
So does it require the same kind of equipment that you use like in winemaking, so that you've got these tubes and stuff like that keep the process from being exposed to oxygen too much?
Some of the equipment is very similar. The press is a little different. I'm not a winemaker, but I know that some of the winemakers use more of an open vat fermentation process. With cider, you really want to shut it up. The equipment is very similar. You've got, you know, presses and pumps and hoses and fermentation tanks, you know, and at the very least. Very similar.
Okay. Now, you're doing it obviously on a commercial basis, but do you think that there might be some time in the future where you might be giving a class or a demo for people who want to explore this on a home basis?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, we're talking about that, from the standpoint of, you know, practically speaking, some of the equipment is kind of hard to schlep into a class context, but I'm trying to figure out how we can make that work in a way that would be useful to people. I know we were chatting yesterday. I know there's a lot of people out in Amory who have a lot of extra apples who might be interested in learning, you know, how to turn them into a fun beverage for themselves. But yeah, that's definitely on the docket. We're also looking to, you know, just talk more generally, have a class more generally about cider and how that pairs with different foods and you know, how to taste cider in different ways.
Good.
I think most of us are used to more mass-produced ciders that tend to be a little bit sweeter. There's a lot of different styles out there that are much more similar to wine and have a lot more complexity and really go wonderfully with food. So, yeah, look for that as well.
Well, good. Now, Jim, you've got ciders available at Gist?
As I said, I do. We have a French cider right now. We're looking to bring in a cider from New Hampshire, but sheepstick cider, my cider is not yet licensed, so we're still waiting for that. But as soon as we have our license, we will certainly be at Jist. The fact that they like the product still.
Good enough. Well, Jim Bovino, thank you so much for having joined us this morning on Deep Roots Radio to tell us about Jist Fermentation Bar in Minneapolis. I hope that we'll be talking again soon.
Hope so. Yeah, you take care. Thank you so much.
Okay, then bye-bye.
All right. And once again, that website is gystmpls.com. And how about your website, Sylvia?
It is bronxtobarn.com.
All right. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
There's nothing